all the references about these cities of refuge that we're going to preach about this morning can be found in Numbers chapter number 35 and Joshua chapter number 20. We're not going to go there and go to them in great detail this morning, because I just want to hit some highlights and talk about them here for a little while. But in short, there in chapter number 35 of the book of Numbers, we will see that there were 48 cities given to the Levites, six of which were deemed as a city of refuge. Refuge simply is a place of shelter, a place of protection, safety, security, or even asylum. In order for us to completely understand the purpose of these cities, we can familiarize ourselves with the civil laws of that time. For instance, it is mainly, this was one of the scenarios, that if somebody was to accidentally kill somebody else, or even on purpose, they could still run to this city and they could have protection. But if it was on purpose, there would be a fair trial. And unlike our laws today, you're guilty and proven until proven innocent.
Right.
Well, that's pretty much the way it is
now. It was never intended that way, but it is now. You're guilty and you go to jail until you can prove your innocence. But in this day and age, it was you were innocent until proven guilty.
Right.
Amen. God's perfect plan. And so they would take some time and go through a trial. And if they were proven to have done or killed somebody on purpose, then their life would be given to the Avenger of Blood. But if it was on accident, the Avenger of Blood still had the right to take that person's life. But as long as he stayed inside of the city, he would have security. He would have safety. He would have protection. But if he left that city, the protection would not be there for him any longer.
Right.
Amen. And this Avenger of Blood, it comes along with the laws of God, that when the law wrote and was written and it said eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth, life for a life, so on and so forth, that it was in this scenario that the law was already given and set up that if you did take somebody's life and something did happen, you did it accidentally, you were in the field and you had a sickle head fly off the handle and it came out and it hit your neighbor and accidentally killed them, they could go into that city and find a refuge. But they would also choose on the one that died, a family member, which would have the responsibility to avenge the blood of that family member that was killed. If they were to catch up to that person that killed them before they got in the city, they could take their life and there would be no punishment against them. Aren't you glad we don't live in that day? It would be kind of a scary deal. Amen. There'd be some of us that would be perpetually the rest of our life in the city and never get to go out anywhere. Amen. But nevertheless, if we go on a little bit further, we can see here in the scripture that this is God's wonderful wisdom and very, let me say this, let me just go tack back in just for a moment and say that there was a distinct difference between accidental and on purpose. Amen. Who is that Avenger of Blood? We talked already about that just a little bit. They would execute that justice. And if we think for just a moment and we take some time and look at the spiritual connection, we can draw some great parallels with the cities of refuge. One of the scriptures I'd like to bring out this morning is found in Romans chapter number 6 and verse number 23. It says that the wages of sin is death. The wages of sin, or the penalty, or the payment for sin is death. Now, we understand today, living in the New Testament dispensation, that we have this penalty against us, that when we sin, the wages or the penalty, the payment is death. But God's justice and his judgment is continually pursuing us. Now, let me say it like this. As I begin to go through and think about this, there's a hand-in-hand situation here. God's justice and judgment is pursuing us because of the law that is in place. But he set forth a city that is considered to be in the Old Testament, his mercy, his grace. You see, God is a great God of balance. He's not going to be all judgment, and therefore a lot of people think that that's all God's doing, is he's just looking down, waiting to pounce on somebody when they've done wrong. No, he really is a balanced God. That when we sin, the scripture said, we have an advocate. Amen. Jesus Christ, the faithful. We can look at his word and we understand some things here. That in Proverbs 16 and 11, a just weight and a balance are the Lord's. He is balanced and just and perfect. Amen. He never goes overboard and he never does too little. He's perfect in his balance. Now, some of us may think from time to time that he's not balanced or that he has done something unjustly. But you cannot charge God for being unjust. His word said he is just. Isaiah 45 and 21. There is no God else beside me, a just God and a Savior. Look at that. He's going to have justice, but he's also going to be a Savior. What an awesome package. Huh? What an awesome package. He's going to have justice, but he's also going to be the Savior. Amen. There is none beside me. Now, therefore, we should, you and I, be if we were to be found outside of the place of safety, of protection, destruction is inevitable. So I'm giving you the other side of this. That another scripture in John chapter 10 and verse number 10 said that the thief cometh not but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And Jesus said, I am come that you might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. So those who will flee, if you will, into the place of Jesus Christ, amen, you will find safety from the avenger of blood. I will tell you that the enemy of your soul doesn't want anything more than to kill, to steal, and to destroy. He would like to catch each and every one of us outside of the graces and the mercies of Almighty God for one purpose, and that is to ultimately destroy us.
Right.
Amen. Amen. So let's take a little journey for a moment and talk about these cities of refuge. Kadesh means holy. So Jesus is our city of refuge. You can look there on the map, and that is at the furthest most northern part of the kingdom there. If you will notice also on this map, this kind of gives you a little bit of more of a vision of the way this is set up. But each one of these here, Asher, Naphtali, Zebulun, Issachar, Manasseh, Dan, Ephraim, Benjamin, Judah, Reuben, Gad, and then Manasseh up here. So we have all the 12, and Simeon down there on the bottom, we have all 12 tribes of Israel, and it's broken out there. So you can see by this map that each one of these cities took in a decent amount of area. Now, I'm going to take a little bit of time right here and just say that in each one of these places, if you were anywhere in Israel, it would only take you one day's journey to get to any one of these cities. They were strategically put out so that you would not have to go very far to get to a place of protection and safety. But just talking about each one of these cities and what they mean, we're going to draw some parallels from Old Testament and bring in the New Testament and look at the beauty and the wonder of God's Word. So the first one we're going to talk about is Kadesh. It means holy. In Hebrews chapter number 6, verses 18 through 20, it said that by two immutable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge, that you and I have fled for refuge, to lay hold upon the hope that is set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which entereth into that wherein the veil, whether the forerunner is for us entered, come even Jesus Christ. So it takes in all of those things, and we tie Jesus Christ in with those who have fled for refuge. So in tying a city of Old Testament in with Jesus Christ of the New Testament signification here, that Jesus is that holy place of refuge that we can run into and find safety. If we go to the very next chapter of Hebrews, chapter number 7 and verse number 26, it said, for such a high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens. We know that this setting of Scripture is talking about Jesus Christ, and even refers back into Hebrews chapter 6, where we just read. So again, we take that word holy, that he is holy, harmless, and undefiled, and we tie it back in to that city of refuge that was holy at Kadesh. If we take the next city, Shechem means shoulder. Shoulder, which means shoulder. Upon Jesus' shoulder, the scripture said that government is established upon his shoulder. Isaiah 9 and 6. For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. Everybody say his shoulder.
His shoulder.
And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And with the revelation of who Jesus is, he fits every one of these categories. Jesus is wonderful.
Yeah.
And Jesus is the Counselor. Yeah. Jesus is the Mighty God. Jesus is the Everlasting Father. And Jesus is the Prince of Peace. So upon his shoulders, upon Jesus' shoulders, are these things established. So we see that on that side of Jordan. And when maybe some of you have looked at this, maybe some of you haven't. But when they cross over Jordan to go take the promised land, you can see that Reuben, Gad, and Manasseh stayed on this side of Jordan and possessed the land on this side of Jordan. If you've done your Bible reading, you probably already got to that point where they stayed on that side of Jordan, but they made a commitment to go on the other side of Jordan to claim the other territory with all the other tribes and fight for them also, even though they were going to inhabit the land on that side of Jordan. And that's just a little deal, probably where you're just about at in your Bible reading. So anyways, that comes down to Shechem there. So that one means shoulder. means shoulder. Then the next one is Hebron. Hebron. Amen. And this means fellowship. Amen. So is Christ unto us. We have fellowship with Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 1:9. God is faithful, by whom we were called into fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. We are called into fellowship. We're called into this city of fellowship, this place of refuge. Do you realize today that we find refuge, protection, security, safety in the fellowship of Jesus Christ? Amen. If we go on again, these are, amen, it means a fortress. Again, so is Jesus our fortress. Isaiah 32:2. A man shall be as a hiding place from the wind, and a covert from the tempest. As rivers of water in a dry place, as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. All of these signifying this place of safety, this place of shelter, this place of protection. Isaiah 26:1 said, in that day shall this song be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. Salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. God is setting up walls and bulwarks, places of safety to give us salvation.
Right.
And one more that comes to mind is Proverbs 18:10. The name of the Lord, we sang the song today. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into and our safe. Amen. We can find safety in the name of the Lord. Amen. And we know what that name is today. Amen. It's the name that is above every other name, the name of Jesus. And people will poke fun from time to time because we use that name, talk about that name, preach about that name, love that name, pray in that name, do everything in that name. And they may poke fun at us, but I'm going to tell you, in the name of the Lord, there is safety. I'm going to depend on that name because there's no other name, amen, that like the name of Jesus. If we go on a little bit further there to Ramoth, as you can see, we've crossed over Jordan down at the top part of the Dead Sea there, and Ramoth is about halfway up. Ramoth means high, high. So is Jesus unto us. He is high. Or a word that is used in Acts 5:31. Him hath God exalted, hath lifted up, hath set high with his right hand to be a prince. There's that Prince of Peace tying back in over in Isaiah. Amen. To be a prince and a savior. For to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. Jesus has been exalted, and we can run into Ramoth. We can run in to the high place, the exalted place of Jesus Christ. And we can find the Prince of Peace when we're all troubled, when we're all disturbed. We can find peace in this city of refuge.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And the last one, Golan, means joy. And of course we know that Jesus is our joy. Romans 5:11. But we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Oh, we can run into this city of joy. And when we are depressed, when we are facing discouragement, when we are facing despair, we can run into this city of joy. Amen. And he can put a smile on our face. Why? Because we're back in a city where there can be joy, where there is protection from the enemy, where there is a shelter from the storms of discouragement and despair. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise God. Praise God. So those are the cities in short. As you can see, there are six of them. I want to take a little bit more time and point out a few more things about these cities. Number one is they were divinely appointed of God. We must understand it was God who declared these places of refuge. There's certain things in the will of God and in the mind of God that he sets them there for and on purpose. This was not, and we gotta wrap our mind around this, that even though it was for the shelter, the protection of men, amen, it was not a man-made deal. It was not the efforts of men trying to rescue other men. It was God's balance of justice and mercy. It was God's balance of justice and mercy. If you don't like the justice of Almighty God, if you don't like the justice of Almighty God, amen, I'm going to introduce you to a place of mercy. I'm going to get you to understand a place. If you don't like the justice that's coming down, you can run into one of the cities and find protection. You can run into one of the places of safety and security and asylum. But if you stay out of the city, honey, there ain't much hope for you. And if you don't like what's pursuing you, find a city of
refuge.
Amen. So these were divinely appointed from God Almighty. God's wonderful grace, a refuge of divine appointment. It is only in this place that safety is guaranteed. It is only inside the walls of this city that safety is guaranteed. To run to any other city would be pure foolishness. It would literally be suicide, because no other city could offer protection. I don't have a map right now, but if I had it ready, I would. But there were multiple cities scattered. Remember, just the cities that were given to Levi were 48. These are only six of the 48. So there was another 42 cities of the Levites that were scattered within this area. So you might be closer to a city that was a city of the Levites, but if it wasn't a city of refuge, it didn't matter. And sometimes we get the idea, well, I don't want to go that way. I don't want to do it that way. Why do I have to go to that city? This city's much closer. This city has this, and this city...
Right.
You can make up all of the excuses that you want to make up, but if you don't get to one of the specific God-given and designed cities, you're not going to have safety and security and protection from the Avenger of Blood. Well, I don't think this is necessary. Well, it doesn't matter whether you think this or that is necessary. If you don't get to the city, the wages of sin is death. You're going to die. The enemy is coming after you, and he has nothing good in mind for you. He only wants to kill, to steal, and to ultimately destroy you. Probably one of the most heart-wrenching stories that has to do with the cities of refuge is found in 2 Samuel chapter number 3. I'm not going to read it all. Some of you may know, but I must hit the highlights just to bring everybody else up on board so you understand. And verse number 27 said, when Abner was returned to Hebron. Let me just give you a real quick history lesson, just hit some of the highlights. Abner was the captain of Saul's army. Joab was the captain of David's army. Abner stuck by Saul's family, so on and so forth, and stayed loyal there until it wasn't convenient anymore. And then he went and he switched sides with David later on. But during that time, there was a young man by the name of Asahel, which was Joab's brother. Amen. And he was pursuing after Abner. And at that particular time, Joab and Abner being the captains, they were at odds of each other. But Asahel got the opportunity. It would be like Dwayne chasing after me. Come here, give a hand, son. And I'm Abner, and this is Asahel, and this is the way the story goes. He said, leave me alone as they're running. Come on, chase me. And I said, now quit pursuing me. Hey, man, you need to quit pursuing. Now, this boy could probably catch up to me a little easy, but thank God he's not. Now, and he told him twice, and finally he kept on, and he kept on, and finally so Abner stops and just kills him. This kills him. Well, now because he's pursuing him, and he kept on telling him, stop, he slays him. Go ahead, get up, son. Thank you. He slays him. Well, Abner goes and he tries to make this deal. And again, there's a lot to be said about Abner that I don't want to get into. But nevertheless, Abner makes this deal with David and switches sides and becomes, quote unquote, loyal all of a sudden to David. But nevertheless, because of this death, he runs to Hebron. Where is that? In Judah. South, right? So he runs to the city of refuge. All right. Now, the scripture that I just started to read said when Abner was returned to Hebron, he took a chance by coming out of that city. He took a chance by trying to get somewhere, but he knew where Joab was. So he comes and he talks privately to David and gets all that he wants settled, and then runs back to Hebron in time because Joab comes and meets with David. And it was said that Joab finds out that Abner was there. And Joab says, David, what'd you do this for? Why'd you let him go in peace? Well, David wasn't the avenger of blood. David couldn't kill him. Only Joab could, because Joab was chosen as the avenger of blood. So he couldn't do anything. So in the setting of scripture, he goes in peace, makes it back into the city. Remember, he's safe. Nobody can touch him. And at the gate, Joab took him aside in the gate to speak to him quietly. And smote him there under the fifth rib, that he died for the blood of Asahel, his son. So we have the scenario now. Now I'm going to be Joab. You're going to be Abner. Come here. So now I just switched roles. And so here's Abner. Go over there. You're in the city of refuge. And I'm Joab. And sit right there. Yeah, right there, right there. And there's a line right there. See that line? You're in safety zone. Hey, you know, Abner, I know there's been some situations that we've been dealing with, and I just want you to know, everything's going to be okay. I know that you've been talking to David, and David's accepted you into his army. Why don't we come out here and just talk a little bit? And why don't you come on out here and just talk a little bit? And he reaches over. He stepped outside of the city, and he guts him right there. And his guts, this is me. I could write a story. Kind of almost fill it in some of the blanks. I can see that. And he stepped it up in that mid rib and he tickles his heart really good. And Abner falls over dead. Dead. These guys take a long time to die. He falls over dead. And Joab now has avenged the blood of his brother. But he could not until he got him to step across that threshold. All right? Now we go up to verse number 30. We go to verse number 30 there. And it said, and Joab and Abishai, his brother, slew Abner because he had slain their brother Asahel and Gibeon in the battle. And David said unto Joab and to all the people that were with him, rend your clothes and gird you with sackcloth and mourn before Abner. And King David himself followed the bier. And they buried Abner in Hebron. And the king lifted up his voice and wept at the grave of Abner. And all the people wept. This is amazing. Verse 33, the king lamented over Abner and said, you know what's amazing about this? This is awesome about another thing about David. That when you stop and you think about this, Abner, when he was captain of the host for Saul's army, Abner was the one that was chasing David from cave to cave to cave to cave to cave.